I would like to ask you to take your Bible and please turn to that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Here it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18 that the message, it says in the New King James and many other Bibles will say the message of the cross. The King James Bible says the preaching of the cross. But you have this word in the original language, logos. And that word logos is a word that refers to Jesus himself. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. It says that Jesus, in that John chapter 1, it says that Jesus was the Creator. And in verses like Psalm 39, verse 7, it says he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Word of God, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, is powerful. And when God speaks, things happen. Whatever God says changes people, changes situations, changes circumstances. It says in the Bible that the Word of God, Psalm 19, verses 1 to 3, that the voice of God is heard in all the world. And people hear that voice, it says. And when they hear that voice, they are affected by it. That's why in places like Romans 1 and 2, it says that even people who live in obscure places of the earth who don't have a Bible or have opportunity to see programs or hear things through the radio waves or whatever, even people who don't have what we consider essential modern conveniences, they're still hearing the voice of God throughout the world. The message here, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message or the preaching of the cross, it says, is foolishness to those who do not believe. But to those of us who hear that message and accept it, it becomes the power of God to salvation in us. It's like every spring I enjoy planting some seeds in the garden and in the flower beds, and they spring up. It's a miracle. You put that seed in the ground, doesn't look like much, sometimes they're really tiny. You put them in the ground, and because of the blessing of the sun and the earth and the water, they sprout, and then up comes this beautiful plant. Sometimes it's a flower, sometimes it may be something you can eat later in a salad or something. But it's a miracle that this power takes place. And the Bible compares the Word of God to seed in Matthew 13. And when that seed is sown, it bears a harvest. I am here today because of the message. A message can change your life. You get a phone call and it says, we have decided to promote you, and you get a pay increase. That changes your life. That's a message. You accept the message of the promotion and the pay increase. Or you get a message that someone has passed away in your family. That changes you. It changes your family. It changes holidays like Thanksgiving. Christmas. A message can change your life. And the basis of the Christian message is the cross. That Jesus loved us so much, that the Father loved us so much, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And that message, embraced by our Pilgrim Fathers in England and what we would call the United Kingdom today, caused them to leave the impurities of professional Christianity of those times, to seek the pure faith of the cross and of the Word. And so they sought to live that message, and because of persecution, they went to Holland, and then from Holland, they came to the United States. The Pilgrim Fathers came and established this country because of the message of the cross, the truth of the Bible. They wanted to go to a place where they could follow the Lord and follow his word with all their heart. And so they started a new country. And as time went by, our forefathers gave thanks that we have this country today. But it's because of the cross and the message of the cross and how it changed their life. Today I'd like to ask Earl Peterson to come up. Get a microphone here, Earl. This one has a green band around it. Thank you, Earl. Earl is a gentleman who has attended our church for quite some time, and he loves the Lord. But Earl, I understand from what you were sharing that with me that you haven't always been a Christian. Go back a little bit and tell us about the past just a little.
Well, the past started in the early 60s. My mother was always a believer, and she had faith and read the Bible, but she was about the only one. And she introduced me to the Advent Christian Church there in that little town of Iowa. And we didn't have a Seventh-day Adventist church, unfortunately. I might have dedicated my life. I believe I did one time, but I did it for the wrong reason. I did it because I thought I had to, because probably from guilt and what other people were doing. I always looked at what other people were doing.
Sure.
And had no really knowledge of what the Lord was.
And you were sharing with me before that, you, in fact, you are like a lot of people who grow up in a church. They can't always remember when or and assign a date on the calendar and say it was at that day that I gave my life to God. And you said your life was kind of like that. You can't really go back and pick a day or a time that you gave your life to the Lord, right?
Not back in those days.
Yes, right.
It wasn't until just recently I started coming to church on a regular basis. I spent most of my life in self-help books, trying to find knowledge. And just till recently, I found out I had a whole bunch of knowledge, but I wasn't using it, and I didn't have no leader. And found out that Jesus and through the Bible, I found out that by searching that He is the leader and the only leader and the only hope for all of us, really.
Amen. So tell us a little bit more about that. This began to become clear in your mind about needing Jesus to be the center of your life, to be your leader. And so, can you think about when or approximately when that became clear to you?
Well, actually, it was just recently, because I also attend a service on Sunday because I really need it. I mean, I need every day if it's possible, you know, because the only other alternative I have is trying things. I need to be around people. I just found recently that I'm not an island, you know. I'm not just an I, you know. I spent searching for the Lord through AA, and I actually did receive a blessing of the Holy Spirit once for a whole week through what was turned out to be a... I humbled myself because I couldn't really handle what I was going through, and I searched for the Lord, and He showed me that He was there. But I didn't have scripture and things, the principles of the church here that most people live by to keep me going in that path. I fell off of that because there was no Christ in that.
But you were sharing with me again after we talked about some of this that Jesus is living in your heart now, and you wanted to tell people what He's been doing for you. So take us to that part. What has Jesus been doing for you now?
Well, He's given me hope because I've basically failed my whole life. Everything I did, school, whatever, I found out that I wasn't completing nothing. I had no direction, you know. It was just whatever I had to do, and most of the time I didn't have thinking of Christ in my life was very, very difficult. It was impossible. I mean, I did the best I could, but the best you could is without Christ is not enough. Mm-hmm. And I ended up fortunately, I ended up knowing that there is no other way. There's no going back. And there's no, because there's nothing back there. There's nothing, the world offers nothing. And I was learning, I was becoming recognized that that God has had helped me get me everywhere I needed to be. He saved me from a lot of things that have come up that, you know, I wait till last minute. You know, I just recently got out of jury duty, which I was planning on going, which would have been a mixed mistake. And I was able to get things done only through God. I mean, only through the help of God. Massive amounts of things, hours and hours of work that I was, I just had to go to Him and say, hey, I need your help. I need your help. And He got me through that that crisis.
Amen.
And so if He can get me through those crises, He's got me through every crisis. Mm-hmm. And He can get me through anything that is before me. You know?
Thank you, Earl. Appreciate that. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
It's exciting to hear people share what Jesus has done for them and what He means to them. The message of the cross, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, if you're still there with that verse, it says that this message is the power of God to us. Earl heard the message. He accepted Jesus as his Savior. And Jesus has now become everything to him. And he is helping Earl to get through many challenges in his life. For those of us who share that message, it is a mysterious thing when you are sharing Jesus with another person. You're sharing about the story of Jesus and how he loved us and how he died, and that he wants to forgive our sins and save us. It's amazing how that message, because of the power of God, it's amazing how that message comes into a person's life and changes their whole way of life into something whole and healthy and beautiful and pure and true. The difficulties, the darkness that they had been living in the past begins to go away. And they see opportunities where once they only saw roadblocks. And they see happiness where before it was sadness. Jesus leads us through all of these difficulties and opens up vistas for us of goodness and hope and peace. It's amazing what the message does. But not everybody accepts that message, as you know. To a lot of people, the message of Jesus and the cross, just like it was in Paul's day, is foolishness. You notice in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who do not accept it or believe it. And so, as a Christian, you will experience people in your life who think you're crazy, or they think that you're uninformed, that you need to go back to school and become better educated, that you haven't understood the variety of options that are in the world. They become offended when we say there's only one way to live and only one way to get to heaven. Out there in the world, there are people, most people, as it turns out, don't want to believe that there's only one way to be saved. But the Bible teaches us that it is only through Jesus that we may have salvation. So it's foolishness to a lot of those people. But in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, whoever accepts this message has power. They have power to live their life. They have power to see progress and improvement in many different ways in their life. And when they come to the end of their life, they have hope. You'll have to accept my word for it, because most people, and I'm thankful that most of you don't have to be at the bedside of people when they're passing away, but I can tell you that there is a gigantic difference between people who have hope in Christ and people who have no hope beyond this life. The panic, the absolute fear that people have as they approach the end of their life without Jesus is beyond my ability to describe. Also, the peace and the calm in the heart of people who are coming to the end of their life is also impossible for me to describe, because they have this amazing serenity in the final moments of their life, because they know that their salvation is sure in Christ. this world is temporary. And in some ways, they are grateful to accept what is coming. The Bible says that if we embrace Jesus and his death for us on the cross, it totally transforms our life. And we begin to experience in this world some of the blessings of the world to come. I'd like to ask Jen to come up for a few moments. Many of you, most of you probably know Jen Bollinger. And I've asked her to talk with us about what Jesus means to her on a day-by-day basis. Thank you, Jen.
Hi, church family. So Jesus, as far as what he means to me on a daily basis in the cross, I would have to say hope is like a big thing that comes to my mind. In regards to hope in my own life and in my family's life and people that I meet. You know, it's the power, right? There's power in the cross as far as what's available to us through faith. And so learning about that in my day-to-day life, you know, you hear about these things. You hear about, okay, Jesus died on the cross for me. But what does that really mean, you know, in the day-to-day life, right, in our walk? You know, how does that affect our lives? And I've been learning a lot more to learning just to rest in Jesus, you know, in the day-to-day, to learn to trust him and to learn to trust that he wants what's best for me and for my family, and learning to trust him through really difficult times, too. You guys know that my dad passed away. It's been almost 2 years now. And when I think about that, that's where hope comes in too, right? Because, you know, Jesus, he didn't stay on the cross, just like you were talking about. He brings us through things, right? That was a passage to the resurrection. And so when I think about that, you know, he paved the way. He was the first fruits for us. And so I'm looking forward to seeing my dad again someday, and that gives us hope. And I don't just have to be like, I'm done with this Christian stuff, right? You know, you took my dad. You know, you took my child. I'm done. There's difficult things that we deal with in life. And he is able. And there's that power there to sustain us through the difficulties that we go through in life. And so learning to trust him in his heart and knowing that sometimes when we suffer, it can sometimes be for the good of others in some way. And there's a blessing in that. You know, my dad is gone, but there's a lot of blessings that have come through even his death. And that's not the end. Like I said, it's a passage, you know, we're getting through it. So in the day-to-day, just learning to trust God's love that was revealed on the cross. And he didn't come down. You know, he stayed there for us. And sometimes we have to stay there too and die to self, right, mm-hmm. for the good of others around us. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we take things that don't feel good. But when we're patient, oftentimes we can see the blessings of that again on the other side. So if you're in a difficult place in life, just remember, sometimes you don't know how long that trial is going to last. Sometimes it can be years. Sometimes it can be a few days. Sometimes it can be a few minutes, that seems like eternity, right? These trials in life. But when we're patient and we trust God, he gets us through.
Let me ask you a question I'm sure I know the answer to already, but for their sakes, what place does the Bible promises have in your life on a daily basis?
So the Bible promises, they continue to kind of be amplified more and more. I mean, they're such a blessing, and I'm really learning to have faith. Right? Because sometimes you hear them and you're like, yeah, but I don't, do I believe, do I really believe that, you know? And as I've been asking God, you know, because there's some things it's like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, okay, I see that, but I don't, do I really, you know, do I believe that? Is that something that I see, you know, God really speaking into my life? And so with that, just being honest with God of where I'm at, and say, you know, Lord, I need more faith to trust you in this area or to believe that promise. And, you know, he's been faithful to give me more of that when I ask. You know, when we're honest versus maybe faking it or, you know, okay, you know, or yeah, just a more genuine experience, and so desiring that. And he'll give us the desires of our heart, you know, if we take his righteousness first, right? And being honest, too, if we're not desiring spiritual things, sometimes we're spiritually blind, and we have to ask him to open our eyes to enjoy reading God's word, or to enjoy coming to church, or having a Bible study, or, and God's timing is best. So God's promises have started to just to grow in me more, and just claiming those more and knowing what the promises are, and also trying to encourage other people with those promises too. So
one last thing.
Sure.
I know that you're a lady of prayer. Where does mm-hmm. prayer play into your life each day?
So prayer, prayer is amazing, you guys, because it's not just up here when we pray for a moment and then we're done and we go on with our day. What I'm really learning is more about the praying without ceasing. And in that, you know, when it says, okay, keep your mind stayed on Jesus, right? Well, what does that mean? Okay, how can I be thinking about, you know, Christ throughout my day? Or, how do you do that, right? Keep your mind stayed on Christ. So what I've been learning to do is that, you know, committing my life to Jesus in the morning, accepting his gift, that's what it is. It's a gift, right? You don't have to work. Oh, what a weight that is. You know, that he can take us where we're at and just, like I said, we rest in him, and he promises to do what he says he's going to do in our lives. So just talking to God when I get up in the morning, saying thank you, accepting his gift of eternal life, and knowing that he's going to be with me throughout the whole day. And then that's that faith, right? No, Lord, you're always here. When I go in with a patient, I'm like, Lord, do you know what this patient needs? You know, help me to have something to offer them or to say. Remind me when to be quiet, right? And when to speak. And so it's that constant, I guess, filtering of my thoughts, right? And he's been faithful. Amazing things happen when I'm able to submit to God and trust him as I go and I interact with other people. So it's such a blessing. So learning to pray without ceasing, so it's a huge part of my life. And you guys, too, if you look around in life, sometimes you see these, another thing is just praying through my day. Like I'll see, you know, the water truck go by and I'll be like, Lord, thank you that you're the living water, you know? And I'll see a truck that's, you know, a carpenter's truck or something, and it reminds me of Jesus. And, you know, I'll see something that says restoring, and, you know, all these, like, so many companies have these, you know, these phrases of, you know, their saying or whatnot. And just making it direct my mind back towards God's word. And so that's how learning amen. To pray through the day.
Amen. Well, thank you, Jen. Can you say amen to that? So as we face the foolishness of the world, the trials, the tribulations, our strength comes from our daily dependence on the message of Christ and his cross, that the same Jesus who bore the cross will help us bear our cross. The Pilgrim Fathers and Mothers, a door was opened for them to leave a place of foolishness, a place of persecution, and come to a land where they could worship God through freedom of their conscience. So they established this nation that in the beginning honored God, the Creator, the God of the Bible, and honored the Word of God. And it was cherished and is still cherished by millions of people in this country today of various denominations. So when we gather together at Thanksgiving time, we're truly thanking Him for all the blessings we have received, yes. But all those blessings have come to us because of Jesus and his death on the cross, and the promises that are given to us by his word, the Holy Bible. In Romans chapter 7, verse 25, to follow up with what Jen was saying, here is Paul at the end of Romans 7, and he's talking about the challenge of living in this world on a daily basis and how we struggle with sin and struggle with trials of every kind. And you can almost see Paul throw up his hands, as it were, and say, How are we ever going to get through this mess? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? And then he says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. As I go about from place to place and visit people on a weekly basis, one of the common things that I see with people living over here in this metropolitan area is the struggle that they face just getting to work and getting home and getting the bills paid and getting everybody where they need to go. And it feels like life is just one big pressure point after another. And they sort of like Paul, they say, who's going to deliver me from this crazy life? But as you've heard Earl speak and as you've heard Jen speak, and my testimony with theirs is through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Every trial that comes my way, every disappointment that comes my way, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You bow on your knees in prayer. You remember the message that it speaks of in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the gospel. You remember why you're here. You're here for Jesus. You're here for Him and for His kingdom. That's the purpose of life. You remember that. You give everything back to Him. Your job, your car, your home, your livelihood. You give it all to Him. Your future. And that's when peace comes into your heart. You give your children to Him. I have 3 children and I have 6 grandchildren. And every day I give my children and my grandchildren to God. There would be no peace in my life if it weren't for Jesus. To know that He loves my family unspeakably more than I do. To know that I can trust them into His care every day and that He will do what is best. And when I do that, peace comes into my heart. In Colossians chapter 3, if you would like to turn there, verses 16 to 17, it encourages us to focus on Jesus and the cross all the time. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word, you could even say, initiate it or be intentional about it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in your heart, teaching and admonishing or encouraging one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We are enabled to give thanks because we have let Jesus and His Word dwell in us. And that gives us hope and confidence and faith. No matter what your political point of view is, no matter what your personal philosophies may be, if Jesus is the center of your life, you can go to bed each night with peace in your heart, lay your head on your pillow and say, everything in the world is not all right, but everything in my heart is all right. You can't control what happens everywhere else, but you can control what happens here. As you surrender your life each morning and each night into the hands of a loving, powerful Creator God. There are no obstacles that He cannot remove. There are no dangers He cannot save you from. There are no difficulties that He cannot answer. There is no entanglement that He cannot straighten out. Whatever your situation may be, if you surrender it all to Jesus and trust in the message of the cross, you can absolutely be sure that He who loved you so much that He gave His life on the cross is not about to abandon you now. And if you turn to Him each day, He will put peace in your heart. I'd like to ask Rachel to come up now, and I've asked her to play a song of thanksgiving. I'm sure you'll recognize it. It's a beautiful hymn that teaches us to give thanks to God in all things. I'd like you to stand now as we have our time of prayer, and as we take time on this special Thanksgiving Sabbath to pray, I would like to offer you the invitation to come to the altar this morning If perhaps there is someone here who would truly like to give your life to Jesus, and perhaps this is the day that you say, you know what, I need to give my life to the Lord. And if that's you, I would like to invite you to come forward here in just a moment. Or maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I really do need to put everything in God's hands. And by coming forward to the altar today, you're saying it's a signal to you and to God and to others that I am going to start placing my life more securely in the hands of God. Or maybe you're facing a trial of some sort that you need a divine answer for, and you need special prayer this morning. Whatever it may be that you need to talk to the Lord about this morning, I'd like to invite you to come forward as we sing All to Jesus, I Surrender. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I can never love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory, glory to His name. I surrender all, I surrender. To Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Let us pray. Dear Father, today as we think about the upcoming Thanksgiving Day that we have set aside as a nation, and when we think of its history and what our Christian forefathers and mothers went through to establish this country, because they wanted to escape from the persecution, the foolishness, as it were, of where they lived, to a place where they could freely worship Jesus and follow the truth. When we think about that, Lord, we are truly grateful for what they did, the price they paid, many of whom passed away before the whole year, the first year, was even completed. But they were willing to lay down their lives for You, for the cross, for the truth of the Bible. And we are grateful that they had such faith in You that led them to give it all to You. But Lord, that reminds us that You were the one who gave up all of heaven. You did not covet or cherish anything that heaven had to offer. You laid it all aside, and even the divine prerogatives to come to us in the form of a human being, subject to the Father, living life as we all must live it, facing evil every day. And You overcame. And through You and through Your blood, we may overcome. You came and You died on the cross, a perfect sacrifice, so that our sins could be forgiven and we could rise from sin's control and be free to follow You and to obey Your commandments. And so, Lord, today as we have considered that, some of us, perhaps even many of us, have decided to make a commitment here today. For those who have not chosen Jesus as your Savior, but today you want to say, I want Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. In your heart, you don't have to say it out loud, but in your heart, perhaps you could repeat this prayer to the Lord. Dear Father in heaven, I know that I am a sinner. You promised in the Bible that if I would confess my sins, You would forgive my sins. I claim that promise today. You also promised that if I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I would have eternal life, and I would also have your help to live my life in this world. Today I choose Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life and help me to live for you. For those who are bearing a burden, a concern that you have, that you need God's help on, Lord, we come to you carrying the burdens that are part of our life, but we want to give them to you. We want you to take control. We don't want to be in control. We want you to take control. You are the only one who knows the answer to the situations we face. Please provide the resources. Please provide the people. Please provide the miracles that no human being can provide. And give us the relief and put peace in our heart that you have everything in your hands. Help us to trust you with every day and every situation and every loved one and friend. Help us to trust you to take care of all these things that matter so much to us. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has come forward today or in our congregation who is sick, who has been given a diagnosis, and they need your help, then Lord, today I'm asking you on this special day, Sabbath, the Sabbath day before Thanksgiving, in your house, which has been dedicated to you and is holy to God, we ask you, Lord, in this place at this time to show your power. For those who are sick in our congregation or those who are visiting today, we pray that you will have mercy, show your power and grace, touch their bodies and their minds, and bring healing to them. We know that you choose to bring healing in a variety of ways, and we would never be so bold as to tell you what or how to do things. But Lord, we ask if it be your will, if it can bring glory to your name, and if it's for each person's best good, please heal their bodies, Lord. Take away the pain. Take away the dysfunction. Take it all away, Lord, so that we may praise you on this coming Thanksgiving and praise you everywhere we go and tell people, look, this is what Jesus did for me, so that many other people may have evidence to believe in you and to know that they too can trust you with the things that are happening in their lives. Heal our minds, dear Lord. Heal our bodies. Heal our spirit. Come amongst us by your spirit and by the angels. And may a great revival of godliness and devotion and fervor for the Lord and for the things of the Lord, may that come upon us in a great rushing mighty wind. Stir us up, Lord, in these last days before you come, and cause us to have great devotion in our homes and in our church and everywhere we go. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I hope that many of you are planning to stay for lunch, because there's a lot of food over there and I cannot eat it all. So please come and share it. I would appreciate that very much. God bless you.